We're starting at the bottom of Pyramid Bet. We'll just review quickly the Gemara that we did yesterday and then continue in today's stop. So, Yiba Yiluhu, the Gemara starts, Yiba Yiluhu Shomeret Yabam, Shemeita Mikovra, meaning that the woman who's waiting to have Yibum performed, her husband passed away, she's waiting for the brother to perform Yibum with her, then she passes away. Who's obligated to bury her? The inheritors of her original husband bury her because they inherit her ksuba. Maybe, right, the father's yorshim should bury her because they're going to get the nechzei melug. So which of these two items is going to obligate the parties to bury her? So, I mean, it's the way Rashi sets it up here, which makes sense, is that the Gemara earlier said that Murata is Taket Nidunya Ta, that her burial is in place of her Nidunya. Now, that Nidunya is not mentioned here. That's not one of the things that's being inherited here. So, Rashi just suggests that it's the Ksuba, and we're going to see that in a second, right, is the item that's going to drive the Kavura, because there's no Nidunya. But that's interesting just to note, because there are others like the Rabbeinu Tam and others that think that there is an Adunya here. But Rashi thinks not, and that's the question of the Gemara. Now, without an Adunya, who is the one that's going to be obligated to bury her? So Tashma, Tanya, Rav Abraisa Shomer, Yavam Shemeta Yosher, Yoshek Tubata, right, her inheritors, the inheritors of her Ksuba, Chayavim Vikburata. So here you go, here's a Braisa that explicitly states that those that inherit the Ksuba, right, are the ones obligated to bury her. Amar Bai Abana Namitanina, we also learned. Aman Nizonit, I mean Yakse Yitomim, and Amana can live off the estate, right? She can take Mazonas out of the estate. Umaisi Adeshalahen, her output therefore belongs to the estate, because why she's taking Mazonas out of the estate, therefore Umaisi Adeshalahen go into the estate. Bin Chayavin Bikvurata, and they are not obligated to bury her. Yosher, Yoshik Tubata, those that inherit her Ksuba, Chayavin Bikvurata, are Chayavin her Kvura. Where do you ever have a almana where you say the Yisomim are not her inheritors, but the inheritors of Ksuba are the ones obligated to bury her? That's a case where you have a Shomeret Yabam. You have two different inheritors here. It says there are two lines of inheritors, right? Must be talking about a Shomeret Yabam. And you see that the Yosheh, Yosheh, Tubata are the ones that are obligated to bury her. It's clear.
We say that Yosheh Abam are the ones that are Yosheh Ksuba as well.
Right. Yosheh, Yosheh, Tubata, right? Who's the... And so Yosher Yoshik Tubata, that's the term, it's the same term that we used up above.
Right, which we used above to refer to the Yosher Habal.
Right.
Here it seems to be not referring to Yosher Habal, because it says she is sustained from the estate, right, and his own has been estate, and the aim chayav and the
first one. First of all, the mission can't be taken literally. So it's just, I mean, because one of the major issues, I mean, Tosis pointed out, so one of the major issues is that they're Yisomim here. If they're Yisomim, then why is the Yosher Habal?
Not from her.
Right, so that's what I would have thought. I would have
although it doesn't matter if it's... Right.
No, it does matter if it's from her. It does matter if it's from her.
No, she doesn't matter if the husband knows if her had children with someone else, then she's...
Right. She's not brought there from Yibum, because it depends on when he was married to her. I mean, if he came out to...
If it was...
Right. It's not that, but first of all, she's not, she could be a Shomer Yibum when she married an individual who already had children. Right, then
someone who already has children.
There's not going to be, right. So Tosis points out, you're right. So Tosis points out that there's not, this can't be a, this Braisa is not literal, because if there's some of them there, then there's no Yibum. He's just saying that there's a Yitra Lashon, the extra Lashon, and the Braisa is what drives us to say that. That there's an extra Lashon, and that's what makes us say that the Yosheh, Yosheh, Tubata are the ones that are Chayavim B'Kitrata. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, I guess the Lashon of Yisomim is not precise. So
right.
Just, whoever the inheritors of Bala are.
Or Ksubata. That's what they're focused on. That they, and the Ksuba are, whoever those are, those which happen to be in the Baal. And that's, right, so the Gemara says, Amarava, Alema, let the brother make a claim, right? This is the brother. The brother is the one who's going to be Yoresh the Baal, right? Who's going to Yoresh the husband? This is the brother. So let the brother say, Ach, ani Yoresh. I'm inheriting my brother. Ishto, any unequal bear. I'm not going to bury his wife. And that the only reason that he would be obligated to bury his wife is because what? Because he inherited the wife. He got her Ksuba. But the real issue here is what? That he inherited the brother. He makes a claim, I inherited the brother, therefore I do not need to bury her. So Amalei Abai Mishum Debayin Alav Mishnei Tzadim. Abai says what? We can come from two sides, meaning that we have a claim against him from both ways, because it's either way he's in a problem where he'll have to bury her. What is that? Imachav Yoreish Yikvort Yishto. If he's really inheriting his brother, meaning that he's standing in place of his brother, then he's got to bury his wife. Meaning that if he's replacing his brother, then his brother would be obligated to bury his wife. Imenuko Veret Yishto. If he's not willing to bury the wife, Yitain Ksubata. Then let him give the Ksuba, meaning because the Ksuba.
That's how they say
marriage, or
well, he's not marrying her because she died before he ever took her as a Yabam, right?
So it's the Ksuba that the...
Her father would inherit, right? Her father or the inheritors of her father would inherit in this case.
So the marriage where the husband died childless, mm-hmm. And there was a ketubah in that marriage.
Right, correct.
Normally, if he divorced her, he'd have to give that ketubah.
Right.
What we're saying is that ketubah...
Also, if he dies, she gets it.
If he
dies also, she gets her ketubah. Meaning that if she... In that case, she technically should get her ketubah. There was no... Say there's no yavam. And he dies, she's entitled to get her ksuba out of there.
That's it.
What?
She inherits her or she's...
And the next name, look, and all the other things that are in there.
Everything that you...
Right, but
then she's entitled to through her ksuba, she'll get back out. The question is then...
She could just choose to be nizonis from the estate.
Right.
Right, and not take her ksuba.
Right, but here they know you sell him, so right, but she could technically, right, stay nizonis from the estate. But the fact is that if he's not willing to bury her, then he's not viewing her as a proper wife. If he's not viewing a proper wife, then she should be entitled to her ksuba. Right? The fact is, the only reason that he can say, I'm not giving you a ksuba, is because he planned on marrying her. And that he's really standing in place of his brother. If he's standing in place of his brother, he's got to bury her. He says, I don't want to bury her, then he's not standing in place of his brother. He's got to give up the ksuba. I mean, that he can't have it both ways. That's what the Rabbi is saying. So Amalei Ochel Ka'amina. So Barabbas says, well, you can say like this. Akani Yoresh Etishto Ani Kover. Right? He goes, oh, I'm inheriting my brother, not you, and therefore I'm not going to bury you. Ah, V'imishum Ksuba. All right, you say, if I don't bury you, I should have to give up the Ksuba. Don't need the Ksuba, the Gavos Michayim. The Ksuba can only be collected when the husband is dead or divorced. I mean, that part of the Lashon Ksuba is what? That the, when do you collect your Ksuba? When you are able to go marry someone else. In this case, he says, I'm here. I'm ready to marry her. She's the one who's failing to come into the marriage. So the failure in the ksuba is not on my part, it's on her part. So if that's the failure in the ksuba, she's not entitled to collect the ksuba here. Right?
Because he's taking the brother's place.
Right, he's taking the brother's place, but he's saying that I was ready to marry her, right? And she died. So now, the failure to consummate or to fulfill the ksuba, Lashon Ksuba, is not on my hand. I said, I'm here, and she can't go out and marry anybody else. That's what the ksuba says. That we're not.
She's dead.
Right, but your entitlement to collect...
She's not that good of cash at this point.
Your entitlement to collect is only when you can say, I can marry others, that I'm entitled to marry others, and that you can't do. I'm here. I'm the husband, I'm standing right here. So much might say the Islay Midrash Ksuba. Who's the one who says that we take the Lashon Ksuba literally? They mean in order to qualify to get the Ksuba, we literally read the Ksuba saying that, oh, hey, if you're entitled to marry someone else, you get your Ksuba. Beishamai. Shemin and Leila Beishamai, Dharmi Shtar, I'll make the Gobbles to Gobbles Dami. And we know that Beishamai has a position that what? A Shtar that is ready to be collected is as if it was collected already. I mean, it's sitting more in the possession of the one who's going to collect than the one who is giving the money. It's not. Make the Balein Archelosha. To this time at a sota, say to the sotas come, a sota comes up and her husband passes away before she drinks the may sota. Right? She doesn't drink anymore. She can take her ksuba. Either she drinks, right, or she doesn't take ksuba. Sigmar says osho tot. How is she going to drink? It says ve ishet ishto lakoin. The husband brings his wife up there, and his husband's not around. So Amar Achmana, Aleka, and there's no possibility of her husband bringing her up. Ela mitoch shlo shotot lo notuba. That's what they told me. Because she can't drink anymore, therefore she's not entitled to her suba. Why? Because she's not mutar to go to marry anyone else until she, right, until she drinks. Until she's clear. Right. Right. Again, here there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that there's something wrong here. It's not simply that, you know, he says, oh, I suspect her, and
right,
she's a
drink. Has to get to a certain point.
Right, he has to warn her, she has to be miyached with this individual. There's a lot of the process is not, there's reglaim with her. Shari says they take the ksuba and don't drink. Ramai, sveikahu. It's a suffix. Suffix zanai, suffix lo zanai. Right, that it's a possibility that she was mazana, possibly she's not mazana. Vekati suffix mutsi midei vadai. And he's vadai muksak in the ksuba. I mean, the husband, or the yorshim, of the husband, hold the money. They hold the payout. They hold the land. Right, and you want to come, be suffix to be mutsi midei vadai. They definitely hold it. There's definitely a suspicion here. And then that suffix, the possibility that she wasn't mazana, she should be entitled to a ksuba here. That a shtar that was, as if it was collected, I mean that her rights to the ksuba are more than simply a suffix here. Her rights to the ksuba, she has a shtar ksuba. The shtar ksuba is like a gavos dami. It's as if she's already muksak in the item. So therefore, it's not she's being motzi midei vadai. She's not taken away from the husband or from the husband's yorshim. She already had, almost had the ksuba in her hand already. So it's almost the reverse. If they want to take it out of her hands, they got to prove that it's that she was mizanin. Right? But otherwise, she's muksak in the ksuba and she can take it according to Beis Shammai. Therefore, you see what? You see that a ksuba is not simply, you know, not simply that she's trying to take the ksuba out, and we read the lashon of ksuba, and therefore what? She's got to prove, I mean, she's got to be alive, she's got to fulfill the words of the ksuba. We see that ksuba already almost belongs to her, and therefore maybe she doesn't have to prove it. Now that, based on how you explain this, Gemara is going to explain the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara now posits another question. Who are they positing this question to? It says, Vaha, b'inish t'asi ba'achar titli mashukatub laichi. The Lekha. The ksuba still says what? That when you can marry someone else, then you'll get what's written here. So who's this question? According to whom is this question? Is this question according to Beis Shammai or according to Beis Hillel? Right? Is it possible, right, that we solve Beis Shammai? According to Beis Shammai, we solve the problem. He says, ksubas kagavas dami. Ksubas are if it's collected already, the woman has a ksuba already. And that's why that she gets...
From the point that the husband dies,
Beforehand. The fact that she has a lien on the property and that she has rights to collect here that are really very, very strong rights, that's already going to give her a chazaka in the property. I mean, that you can't say that the baal is muksak in the ksuba. That maybe she really has the ksuba in her hand, and then the obligation to take it out of her hands is going to lay on the husband, not on her, right, to get it. So do we say that we solved the problem that even though Beis Shammai would normally say we read the ksuba literally, in this case, right, we're going to say that it's trumped by the fact that it's kegavos dami. The fact that she's holding on to it already gives her additional right, and therefore we're not going to take it literally in the ksuba. So we solved Beis Shammai. Now we want to deal with Beis Hillel. How's Beis Hillel going to get, or how are we going to explain Beis Hillel? How is she going to get the money here, or the Yorshe Isho? How are they going to get the money if they're not taking the star literally? That's the question. Or are we still challenging within Beis Shammai? Okay, star can go with Dami, but she still hasn't fulfilled what's in the star. According to Beis Shammai, she sees both. So yeah, okay, can go with Dami, but she still has to fulfill literally what's in the star, and there are questions on Beis Shammai. Right, so those are two possibilities. What the Gemara is challenging here, are they still challenging in Beis Shammai's opinion, or are they challenging to Beis Hillel? All right, we solved Beis Shammai, let's deal with Beis Hillel.
What would be the question?
The question is, how did the Yorshei Ishto get the ksuba? I mean, Beis Hillel does not hold Shtarka Gavas Gavas Dami, number one. Number two, they don't hold, I mean, it's not clear that they hold you have to take it literally. They don't, we saw earlier on that they don't seem to hold that you have to take the ksuba literally. But, nevertheless, what's their entitlement? What's their entitlement to the ksuba here right now? Right? Because you have this Ach has a claim.
And how do we know that Beis Hillel says that she is entitled to the ksuba?
Well, that was in the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah Beis Hillel said that she's entitled, right? The Yorshei Ahav take the ksuba. Right? That was when they split it. They mentioned in the Mishnah that right, so that the ksuba stays with the Yorshei Ha-Bao. Alright, so now how do we know that there's actually a ksuba to collect over here, right? I mean, that's why we're even talking about a ksuba. So Mar says, "Va beina kishtisa lachar titli mashukatuv leichiv lekha." Rashi yobam nami ka'achar dami. This is an interesting line. That what? The fact, right. The fact that the Yavam can marry her already means that she can. She was in line for an Acher. I mean, that it's not viewed as the.
I'm sorry. And actually, the Sura means the first and the first class line.
Right.
The Sura, the first class, Yoshe Haba.
Right.
Not her Yoshim,
but the question is who is no. No, but then no, that's the claim of Abai. Abai makes the claim that what? That if he's not willing to bury her, then they should lose the ksuba, and the ksuba should go to who? They should go to the her.
Yoshe.
Right, Yoshe. I mean, that's Abai's whole claim here. Right? Abai's claim is what? You have two choices. Either you bury her, and that and then you retain your entitlement to her ksuba. You retain the entitlement to what her husband would have kept. Or what? Or if you don't bury her, then give her ksuba. So the guy says, well, Rav said back to him, who's he giving the ksuba to? He's going to say, she's not here. She's not alive for me to give the ksuba to. So that failed. So,
that was the question I liked. That was the question I liked. That was why we got to the point where we said, so who is this? Is this Beishamai?
Right. Beishamai says, read the ksuba literally.
Right.
Okay, so now.
So again, how do we know that Abaye is... It's not going to be so.
Because even that part of that issue is that even Abaye holds, that's another thing, that Abaye even holds that does not hold of this Kigavu Dami. Sorry, Kigavu Dami. That Abaye doesn't hold of that position. That's Tosfos points out here.
That's what I originally expected the question to be, but then it didn't seem like that was what the Gemara was asking.
No, the Gemara says that he doesn't hold of that, but Tosfos mentions that he doesn't hold of that. If you look at Tosfos, Bahabi Inam Kishdasid Acher. It's in the wide line. The second Tosis in the wide line is Bahabi Inam Kishdasid Acher. Sino Memer, the Parakh of Beishamai. The possibility that this question is according to Beishamai. Why? He, the slave of the Beishamai, Shtar, made the Gavus Kigavu Dami, even though they hold that it could be, it's as if it was collected already. Neo, the Union Zem, Hani, Midrash Ksubo, the Shitanasid Acher, Lo Yavi, Lo Tvura. That his reading of the ksuba, the literal reading of the ksuba, might protect him from having to bury her. Meet the Havi Arusa, just like Arusa. The Afagav the Gavui Dami, even though an Arusa is entitled to collect her ksuba, right? An Arusa whose husband passes away collects ksuba. Inla, right? But inla ksuba mishani. Inla Gavui Dami. Inla ksuba. So that she doesn't get her ksuba. If she predeceases him, she's not getting any ksuba. Shani yavam nami ka'achadami, and that's the answer. The answer is what? A yavam is as if he married a third party. Right? If you think that it was already good, and this will also answer up for Basil. Umatsu darshi shafri midrash ketuba gave it to akhadami choshev kilu gavto v'achzirlo, as if she collected it and gave it back to him. So that he says here, what? It's as if she collected her ksuba and gave it back to him, and therefore he's now obligated to bury her. Inami, mutzi the Beis Hillel parak. It's a question according to Beis Hillel. The leislu kagavui dami. They don't hold of shtar kagavus kagavui dami. Apakav the sack of the leislu midrash ksuba. They also don't hold that we literally interpret the ksuba. Come on, come park shapir the hashtag. Mahas and viyavamos lo bo Beis Hillel the midrash ksuba. But yavamos, they don't require you to take it literally. Kadei the kagavus. Elamafsi the ksuba, they lose it. Koshkei hacha. Sheish lo lahafsi ksubasa. Now she should learn ksuba yidei midrash. Shiomer Beis Hillel shetafsi. That they'll say that she loses it out. So just like by Yavam, she would lose it out. So it's over here, she should lose out.
If the requirement was that she has to be able to marry someone else. Well, now, she's like Yavam is the other person.
Right, that's the answer. That's the answer. The Gemara. The Gemara's answer is it'll work for both Beis Hillel Beis Hillel. I mean, that once you have Yavam here, that's already the equivalent of a third party saying I'm willing to marry her, and that entitles her to her ksuba. Right, and therefore, then if Baye's two-sided coin exists. If you bury her, then you can take what her brother. You're standing in place. If you're collecting from her brother, if you're inheriting her brother, you're taking the ksuba because you're standing in place of her brother, then you got to bury her. Yeah. But you can't have both ways. Or if you're not willing to bury her, then you can't take her
ksuba. That makes sense. In other words, like, then the ksuba is still in the same status as it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she still has that potential ksuba, which is a potential something that she can collect on if she gets divorced from the Yavam or if he predeceases her.
Right. So that's what Beis Hillel. So that's the possibility. That the question is either according to Beis Shammai, that's not good enough. Shtar Kegavus Kegavui Dami is still not good enough to overcome the lashon of the ksuba. And therefore, what are we talking about here? So they solve that by saying it's a yavam. it's an akadami, or the question is according to Beis Hillel that they don't have kigavoi dami, and even though they don't generally say that we take the ksuba literally, but nevertheless, by yevamos, right, in order for a yevama to collect, they would lose out. I mean, that she would lose out on her ksuba. Okay. So then we say, no, she doesn't lose her ksuba because the yevam is considered ke'akher dami. All right, so that was how, that's the solution to the problem. That's what Abai says. So what we had a question, who has to bury her? So he said, what? It has to be Yorshe Ksubasa. The one who inherits the Ksuba is the one who buries her. Right? So who's that? You pointed out in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel says, but Yorshe Ksubasa are the Yorshe HaBaal. Right? So then we have this point here where the Baal Rova says, well, why should that work? The Baal should have the ability to come along and say, listen, I'm not inheriting you. I'm inheriting my brother. That's my brother over there. I'm staying in place of my brother. And therefore, I'm not going to bury you. Find someone else to bury you. I'm taking care of my brother. Then Abai says he can't say that. Why? Because the fact that he's inheriting his brother, right, is what? It's a two-sided coin. Like, if you're standing in place of your brother, and that's why you're inheriting your brother, then act like your brother and bury her. If you want to say that I'm not burying her, then give her a ksuba, because then you didn't fulfill the obligations that you have towards a ksuba. So Rava challenges that and says, well, if that's the case, wait, why should she get her ksuba? The ksuba says that you got to be able to marry someone else. And the brother can say, listen, yeah, I'm here. When you're ready to marry someone else, I'll give you your ksuba. Yeah, I'm here, I'm waiting. I'm ready to marry you. So then we came back and said, oh, no, that's not a problem. Why? Because either one of two ways to solve the problem. One way to solve the problem is Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai, who takes literally the ksuba, also says it's kigavoi dami. As if he collected it already. It's as if she collected it already, means that she collected it and gave it back to him. So she collected it from her husband, gave it back to him. Now when he's inheriting, he's not inheriting from his brother, he's inheriting from this woman. And since she's inheriting from this woman, that's going to obligate him to bury her. That's one possibility. Or the other answer, which is the final answer, is what the reason that she's entitled to her ksuba is because what? The yavam is not considered like the continuation of that marriage, but rather ka'akar dami. And therefore, it's as if she's now entitled to her ksuba. She's entitled to her ksuba. She qualifies, she can collect it now. And because of that, he has a choice. He either pays her ksuba or he buries her, right? Those are the two choices he has right now. Right, so now shall play Rabba the Abaye. So the conversation continues. Rabba sends to Abaye. Biyad Rab Shmaya Barzeya. Me not naksuba the gavus michayim. He says that still, is it really possible to be gavos, to take the ksuba while the yavam is still alive? Aha Tanya. Rabbi Abba Omer Sha'alti, Sumchus Arutzi, Shim Kormenechet Seyachiv. What happens if a person wants to transact in his brother's property? Ketzad will say, what does he do? So now, the problem is what? Generally, a ksuba, when you write a new ksuba, what do you say? That all my possessions are akrayim, mushabadin, to the ksuba. Now, when it comes to a yavam, right? So then, when all his property is Akrayin, what does he do? He can go and can he transact in his property? Yes. As long as he leaves over enough property to cover the ksuba, then what do we say? We say that he can transact, and Lukukos, the buyers know to leave over enough to cover the ksuba, and then, you know, that's fine. We say that's fine. Then over here, how can we say when a yabam is miyabain, right, the woman, he's not allowed to transact in his brother's property. Why? Because his brother's property are all mishubadim, are all mortgaged to the original wife's ksuba. Ah, why isn't it like the normal case of ksuba, where he can transact his property as long as he leaves over enough? So that we say because the wife is depending. The ksuba of this woman is on her first husband's property, not on his property. So therefore, in order to protect her, because she doesn't have a ksuba, a new ksuba that says that all of his possessions are akrayin la, therefore, once he transacts in the property and it's gone, right, there's no way for her lien does not enter on new property that's bought. Meaning that, so for instance, if he sells that property and then buys new property, that new property is his property, and they will no longer be mortgaged to her ksuba. She's actually going to lose out. Every property that he transacts in is going to cause a loss in her total, you know, collateral. So therefore, we don't let him do that because he hasn't written that all my possessions are now mortgaged to it. If that was the case, then if he replaced it with another piece of property, then that would come into the mortgage now. So we don't want her to lose out. So the Chum made a takana that he can't transact in the property in order to protect her. So now what happens if he does want to transact in the property? Now here's a boat, there's a boatload of property. It's much more, it's in excess, 10 times the ksuba. So what he wants to be able to use some of this property now, rather than have it sit around or sell it. So what should he do? So shall the sum goes what shim come next yakim kaiter usa im kohen hu he's a kohen, the only solution is osa yasa suda, make a big party, give her some wine to drink, be fight and talk her into it. So he's got to convince her that she's willing to sign off on the fact that he works on this property, because she's the one who has the lien, so she basically got to right away her lien. So he Yisrael hu, so if she's Yisrael, megarish, divorce her, beget, viaxer, and then take her back. Why? Because when he takes her back, what is he going to do? He's going to write a new ksuba. The new ksuba is going to have in it that all my property is, right, the ksuba to you, and therefore that'll free up the original property. I mean, that'll free up the mortgage on the original property. So where it says, V'isak adatin notla ksuba the gavus mechayim niyakad leshir ksuba v'ashar lezabin. If you think that a ksuba can be collected when she's alive, then before he marries her, what should he do? He should pay her ksuba. Give me a piece of land, say, this is your ksuba, take it, here's your ksuba, and then he can marry her. I mean, that because she's collected her ksuba now. Once she's collected her ksuba, then there's no need for a mortgage anymore. I mean, that you could always, when you say there's a lien, when there's a need for a mortgage, it's when she has collected her ksuba.
Does he have to give her another ksuba then?
What? Does he have to give her, yeah, even if he does have to give her another ksuba, right? Then it wouldn't matter to him, because then he's, I don't even think he does have to give her, because he paid out her ksuba already.
Before marriage.
Right, he said,
getting married though without a ksuba in effect.
Right, so he has to have a ksuba, right? For, at least according to Rabbi Meir. But she needs a ksuba here. Alright, but then, yeah. Alright, these are the ksuba, the gavus mechayim, you know, like shir ksuba, by shah the zabin. So Gemara says, according to you, those will mean we must nisen. Right, ask from our Mishnah. Lo yer malah harik tu batesh kun yachad lachal ha-shulchan. That was the last line in the Mishnah. So he's not allowed to say what? Here's your ksuba sitting on the table. Right? Elakol nechasev achrayim the ksubata. Because what? But all of his property is mortgaged to this ksuba. It says, hatzam etzatova kamashmalan. Now in our Mishnah, it's giving advice. But it's giving advice to the woman. Don't accept, right, the ksuba. Don't accept don't accept payment on the ksuba. Why? Because then what happens is if he's miyakin to use certain properties, spending money there, once that stuff's gone, your ksuba's gone. She's giving advice for the woman. Don't give up your lien in getting tangible payments. Because tangible payment can disappear or can go away, and then you'll be left with nothing. Better to keep the lien than to take tangible payment on your ksuba before he dies. That's it. That's my thing.
He brings out that if she actually takes it, he could just designate it. In other words, like I said, maybe the machine was selling specifically to cover the ksuba. But if she actually accepts it as payment of the ksuba, then he has to give her another ksuba.
Or marriage of Rabbi Meir, right? That's Rabbi Meir. Alright, Dilo Tema Hafi. Seifuk, the sign of Yechin, no Yimar Dem Liishto, Harik Tuvdekun Achad Ar Shulchan, Elkona Chasev Achrein, the Tuvet Ishto. Right? So then, if it's, I'm sorry. I find the ksubas ishto. Ibayil is winning. Al kanami lo matim isben. Right? Then you can say, what? He's not able to sell any of his property. But that's what you're going to say now, that when she's akrayin. Right? So this is harik ksubas tek menechlach ala shulchan ala kol nechasav akrayin the ksubas ishto. Everything is meshubas ishto. Ibayil is winning. Al kanami lo matim isben. If you're going to take the Mishnah literally, you're saying what? Then he won't be able to transact many of his properties. Why? Because they're all mortgaged to her. But it's good advice. It's a piece of good advice. It's a doba. Not that he can't do this. Not that he's unable to do this. But he could do this. But it's not what? It's not. He's saying for the woman, this is not a good idea, right? Because if you do this, for the woman, she says if she's willing to accept this, she's going to be out. She's going to be out of luck. Because either he's paying her out of ksuba now, and therefore, he has to either give a new ksuba that's on different property, or he's miyaking her, which is more rational than that he gives. He says, this property will be for paying your ksuba. Then what happens when that property gets ruined, or something happens to that property, or it devalues? Then she's out of luck. I mean, if she keeps the total lien, then she always has something to fulfill her ksuba with, because he has other properties. Even if he sells them, they're meshuba to her first. But if he is miyaka the property, then she only has this, and then she could lose out. So that's the way Rashi learns Eitz HaTovah Kamashulon. Tosus learns Eitz HaTovah Kamashulon That if you look at Rashi, look at Tosfos, Ela Eitz Tovu Kamash Kulan, Tosfos, he says, Erech Bekunchi, Shem Yobdu HaMetalkulin, maybe the simple way, but he says, Shiloh B'Ksuba saw Tzarek Ksuba Kheretz, and now she'll need a new Ksuba. But then you know, Ela the Rabbi Meir, Demar also Adon Lashos Yishto Shach, that's below Ksuba. That's only according to Rabbi Meir, which says you must have a Ksuba. Not everybody holds like Rabbi Meir, other people say you can be married without a Ksuba. But nearly Eitz Tovu Shiloh Tei Kala Be'ina Lotziah. Eitz Tovu here is not a problem of that she might lose out, but what? That the advice that for her that he shouldn't just want to throw her out. Part of the whole point of the ksuba was to what? To not make it easy to divorce. Sure. There would be a monetary, almost penalty, but there would be a monetary repercussions for getting divorced. So in order to stop the husband from like willy-nilly divorcing his wife, he said, well, put a ksuba in place, that will slow the process down. Right? And then he'll rethink it. So to a very, he says, well, if she's already paid out her ksuba, right, then that disincentive is gone because he already put the money on the table. Already, you know, he's already put the money up. So he knows that's gone. It's out of his out of his savings account now. It's already out of what he thinks about it in terms of his investments. Right? That it's a good advice for the wife. Right? So what? If he's miyake the property and he can't transact in it, all right, that's one thing. But he said it's better off having the lien on all the property. Right? So, all right, we'll go into this last line because that's further on the Gemara. So that's more like Rashi. The Rashi sounds a little more like Rashi that the it's not as good an idea. Now Rashi he wants is what if the stuff gets lost, she doesn't have a ksuba. Right, that's the problem here. The Rashi is saying no, don't let her be miyake. This is what I think you were reading in the note. Don't let her be miyake something for her ksuba. Why? Because then you've lost a lien on the other pieces of property. All right, so whatever way the good advice is here, right? Either the good advice is coming from different points of view. We have the Ri, we have Rashi and the Rashba. But the basic idea is either what? If you're miyake the land, she's got now could lose her ksuba because if she gives her money, says here's your 200 zuz, right? Don't bother me anymore. That's your ksuba. Then what? Then if the 200 zuz gets lost or something happens to it, then she's at a ksuba. That was Rashi's interpretation. The nuance of that is the Ri is saying what? So you can't do that because what you can't. Then it's kalubain of lotzia. Right? I mean, that once he pays you out, then a divorce is just a snap of fingers and you're done. So don't to the wife, don't do that. And the Rashba says no. The advice is don't take this as a lien. Don't take some specific property as a lien because you'd rather have your mortgage be on the entire assets, his entire asset base, rather than be on a specific asset within his asset base. So that's the Eitz Tovu Kamash one here. All right, back to the Gemara because now what was the Gemara saying here? We're saying that we have a problem. Rav is saying I have a problem here. Why? Because we see that by a yabam, right? The only solution, right, to what? The only solution to getting allowing the husband, the new yabam, to transact in his brother's property. What was the solution? To be miyakev. What was it? To divorce her. Right. Get rid of her. So if that's the solution, right? What should be? What the Gemara says? You had an easier solution. According to you, Abaye, what was the easier solution? Be miyake la ksubasa, right? Be miyake the ksuba, right? Give her the ksuba, pay it out. If he pays out the ksuba already, then what then? Because she's entitled to miyake, take a ksuba while he's still alive. Right? That's what we just said above. According to Abaye, the yabam is if she's marrying someone else, so she can go and make a claim and say, let me have my ksuba. She can say, let me have my ksuba, so let him say, I'll pay your ksuba. And then all the other property will free up from the mortgage of her ksuba. The fact that they did do that shows you that what? You can't pay out the ksuba of Michaim. So that was his question. So Mar says, well, if that's your question on Abaye, ask that question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah also asks the same problem here. What? All your possessions are, right, are mortgaged to it. So let him do the same thing in our Mishnah. Tell him not to tell her to take a ksuba, and then he can go and transact. So Mar says, by the Mishnah, we can say what? Eitz Tovu Kamashalom. We're telling the woman, don't accept this payah. Right, don't accept this payout because you're going to be yadal atachlonah, which is the three reasons we just said over here. You're going to be in a worse position. Don't do that. But by the price, so you can't say that because Rabbi Abba is not giving advice. He's telling the husband how to get out of this situation. So you can't make the claim though that he's also giving advice to the woman. He's not speaking to the woman. He's speaking to the yabam and trying to get him a solution to being able to transact. So now, what do you do this? That's smart. Ella, the Rabbi Abba kasha. Rabbi Abba Nabalo kasha. That's not a problem. Kimishum Eva. Right? We're worried about Eva. So what's Eva? So let's see, Rashi, just go quickly across the Rashi over here. What's Mishum Eva? A miyakad lishto o karka o metalkalin. Someone designates karka metalkalin to his wife. Notain evas olam b'nehem. He's basically, what? He's making it, he makes the marriage. He's almost dissolving the marriage. The fact that he's already trying to pay out her ksuba means that she thinks he's basically one step away from divorcing me.
He's removed the deterrent to divorce her.
The fact is, right, if he's already ready to pay out my ksuba, you know, tomorrow we're going to wake up and she's going to want to divorce me. Rashi points out, what was Rabbi Abba's solution? Oh, divorce her and bring her back. So here she's disgusted, or she doesn't want to, you know, she's going to dissolve the marriage because he's ready to make her sue out and he didn't divorce her. Now instead, the solution is divorce her. I mean, so why would she be more deterred by that? So that's what he says. He says that he's going to tell her, she knows that it's just a patent to get around having to pay out, not being blocked from transacting the property. So she knows that he's playing a monetary game to get her back without having all these burdens on him. All right, so that's what Rashi answers. All right, so that's the solution here. That would be the solution to Abaye, and that's why Rabbi Abba says we have to do it. Mishum Eva, we force him to go this way.
That's what it's an Ezekiel for her.
Right.
It's to her benefit.
Well, it's an Ezekiel to him, also that she wants to develop this Eva, right?
For
her benefit.
She won't feel insecure.
Right. That their marriage is preserved without having this, Eva that would come up from the fact that she thinks he's divorcing her.
Honey, I have the perfect solution to ensure the success of our marriage. Let's get divorced.
So that's the answer up. So that's how Abaye solves the problem. Rabba's challenged Abaye a number of times, right? This is basically that. This whole sugya is Rabba or is it challenging Abaye's position? Abaye's position is basically what? The point is that the Yorshe, we know there's a statement Yorshe Ksuba, so those who inherit the Ksuba have to bury her. So then Rabba suggested, well, why didn't he just say I'm inheriting my brother? I have nothing to do with you. Get out of here, and I don't have to bury you, right? Because there's no ksuba. There's nothing to talk about here. So that's where Abaye came with the solution. What? It's a two-sided coin. What's the solution? The solution is, well, either if you're going to be in my brother's, if you're in the brother's place, bury her. If you're not in the brother's place, pay out her ksuba. So the first challenge, what is that? He can say you're dead. You can't collect ksuba. You can't fulfill the obligation of ksuba. You're dead. So then we said, so we had two solutions there. One solution is what? That's Beit Shammai, that solves the problem. Or the other solution, which seems to be the more foolproof solution, is that once the Yibum shows up, it's Gachar Dami. She's already entitled to collect her ksuba. So she fell for Yibum, she was entitled to collect her ksuba. So now, Rabba challenges, okay, if that's true, that she's entitled to collect her ksuba when he's still alive, meaning that any Shomeris Yibum that's waiting can say, I want my ksuba and she'll get paid out, then what? We have a solution to the problem of what? You can't transact in the original brother's property. Instead of divorcing her and doing it that way to solve the problem, just say to her, here's your ksuba, right, and what? And then everything will be fine, and then he can transact in the other property. Now we said, no, that's not. We said, both in our Mishnah and here, those are Eitz Tova, basically. It's a good advice. One good advice for the woman in our Mishnah that she shouldn't accept it. And here also, the good advice both to the husband and the wife just to maintain the marriage that she shouldn't think he's going to divorce her any minute now, right? So now she's lost her deterrence, she's lost her mortgage or lien on all his property, and therefore she's going to think the divorce is coming any minute now, and that won't lead to a good long-term marriage. Okay, so that's the whole sugya. Next sugya. Amar Rav Yosef came into Amar Rabbanan lo lizavein. Since the Rabbanan said that he's not allowed to sell the property, Abagav bezavein lo lizvinei zvinei. If he goes out and sells his brother's property, if he's miyavein this woman, that's his brother's property, right, he can't transact in it. That's what the Chacham said. He's not allowed to transact in any of the property. Whereas if he goes ahead and does it anyway and transacts in the property, according to Rav Yosef, it's the transaction's butthole. It's as if it never happened. Tanya, Misha meis v'niach shem esiobam, v'niach nechassim v'mei amono. He left over 100 mona, meaning that's 100 times 100, right, mona, that he left over. Alpha beish tuba sain elamono. Her ksuba is only one of those 100. So now there's 99 hundreds that, what?
Read the chagavah. I just missed that.
Oh, you're right, I did skip that case, sorry. There you go. How gavra? The nafale yivama bepumpadita. There's this one yivama that had a woman that felt him in pumpadita. By akua the mitzvah. Now begita vinei. So these guys are smart. What happens when the yivam marries the woman? He gets to inherit his brother. If she that's chalitza, then who inherits him? All the brothers will inherit the brother, right? So the other brothers are more have a vested interest in him doing chalitza versus him doing evil, right? Because then they're going to inherit the brother. If he does chalitza, they inherit the brother. If not. So they what do they wanted to do? They wanted to do is we had all three of them. If one of the other brothers goes and gives a get, then nobody can marry her and the Yibum's puzzle. So what do they want to do? They want to jump, give her a get to block him from doing Yibum with her. Because then they could force him to do Khalitza. They force him to do Khalitza, they'll end up with the money. Emily Maida Dechashim Nixay says, if you're talking about the property, Anna Benixay Poliganalach, I will divide the property with you. Meaning that I will give you guys a portion of the property and then don't worry about me marrying her. I'm not going to take everything that's there. So Amar Rav Yosef, Kevin Amar Rabbanan Lo Lizavein, since the Rabbanan say that you can't sell that property, then it's not as if he didn't transact, he can't transact on the property. So if that's the case, what? That, in this case also, I think in the case above, it would also be problematic because he's offering the brothers the property. Right, so basically, the property's mortgaged to Ksuba, right? So he's not allowed to transact in that property. So what is he doing? He's marrying off and saying, I'll give you, when we're married, I'll give you that property. But he can't really do that, right? I think that's the flow of the Gemara. The Tanya Misha Meis Veiniach Shomer Esiyob Veiniach Nechatsim Bemeyam Mana. So it's 100 mana, right? Apple Tisha Ksuba Deyala Mana. Her Ksuba is only worth a mana. So it's 99 mana he can't transact in for one silly mana that relates to her Ksuba. So Lo Yimkor, can't do it. Shkon Chasarav, Achrayim Ksuba Tah. All his possessions are, the original brother's possessions are all mortgaged to it. Amalei Abayi, B'chol Eichud Amar Banam Luli Zaven, Afgid Zaven, Lo Abis Vinis Vinay. Is that really true? Whenever the Chum say don't transact, and you do transact, it's not a good transaction. I have a good example of that. Ba'atzan, we just did this mission recently. B'sham Yomim Timkor, B'sham Yomim Lo Timkor. When it comes to an Arusa, right, that was had property, and then she was they were married, sir. Can she transact in that property? So B'sham says no, she may not. B'sham says she can't transact. Eilei Lomodim She Mach Benotlo Kayim. But we see even according to B'sham, says she shouldn't transact on the property. If she does transact, what? The transaction stands. So you see, even when the Chum say don't transact, when you do transact, it will stand. Shachula kalikamei de Rabbi Chanina. So they sent the question to Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. Shachula ka Rabbi Yosef. He answered up like Rabbi Yosef, who said what? That it's batel. The transaction is batel. I'm Rabbi Yachter Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. Kippa talala. Right, so what he says what? What you Rashi says keep it in his thumb, meaning that our rings, nose rings, or whatever. Kumber b'me yafe v'hanah et devarav umatam not b'kishalcha. Like not that b'kishalcha. He goes what? Like you know what? He said something. Just because he said it, that means that's the halacha. He didn't give a reason why the halacha is that way. He didn't pretty it up. He didn't give an explanation. That's not good enough. So shalcha the kamei the Rabbi Yimnuni b'rei the Rabbi Nechumi. So they sent it to another person. They sent it to Rabbi Yimnuni b'rei Nechumi. Shalcha ke'abai. So he got back the answer. This time he came back like a bite. Now he's happy. Now he's not asking what you're for this. V'yamar ba Rav Yosef, Tai Ma'akrina, Shokhali. He says, well, if Rav Yosef disagrees with me, send me back his reasoning. What's his reasoning that he disagrees with me? So Nafak Rav Yosef, Dachba Ashkach, he went out and found a bright that supports his position. Tanya. Shari Shinosu Be'achid, Umeis. Someone, what? He was a creditor to his brother. You have two brothers here, right? Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is a creditor to Reuven. Reuven owes him money. Then Reuven dies. Umeis. Iniach Shomes Yabam. And now he's going to marry this Shomes Yabam. Lo Yomar Ho V'Sha'ani Yoresh Ekzakti. Don't say, because I'm going to inherit my brother. If he marries Reuven, right, then what? If he marries Reuven, I'm going to get the money. So I did it the wrong way. Reuven's a creditor to Shimon.
Yeah.
Right. Reuven's a creditor to Shimon. Reuven dies. So now what does Shimon think? He goes, you know what? I don't have to pay the debt back anymore. Why? Because I'm about to inherit my brother Reuven. I'm going to marry his Yavam. I'm going to marry the Yavam here. I'm going to be Yavim here. Right? I'm going to marry the Yavama. And then I'll collect everything from my brother so I don't need to pay it back. So, but what's the difference? Why is it different? What's the difference? Because what? The Yavam, what's the status of this property over here? If he says what? I don't need to pay back the money. I'm going to inherit him. Then what happens with that property? The property becomes his. So say he lent $100. Reuven lent $100 to Shimon. He dies. Now Reuven dies and he's waiting to be Yavam. So now Shimon's forgiven. $100 is done and he doesn't have to do anything. It's his property. But if he has to pay it back into the Yavam's estate,
it's
Meshubad to the Ksuba. So there's an advantage to having him pay out the 100 and making it Meshubad to the right to the Ksuba. So then you see, so that's what the Gemara says. Don't let him say, he has to buy karka below Kalperos. And it becomes like property of the estate that he inherits. So you see what? That we force him to pay it back, buy property, and then eat payros, which means what? He can't transact in the property. So you see, as Amay Bay, Dilma the Tabule Abdule. Right, maybe they're giving him good advice. So what's the good advice here? So there's another Machlokas here, Matosas and Rashi. What's the good advice? Rashi says the good advice is buy karka and don't spend the money. I mean, yeah, you could have forgiven the loan, but better off to pay the loan back and buy karka. Matalkum aren't God. Invest in real estate. That's the advice. Good advice. Invest in real estate. Don't invest in the market. So that's what Rashi says. Matosas brings down another possibility is, they're giving him advice that what? That the don't let the buyers, if you look over here in Ratosos, it's in the wide line Tosos, the Nira, it's the second wide line in Tosos. The Nira, the Tavale Avale, and we'll have the Shalom Bias today. There'll be more Shalom Bias. Shetei Betucha Yoter, if we spoke out the blood, the Knai Kenya. That he'll be what? She'll be more secure because there'll be more property for her to collect from. The more property, the better for her because the devaluation won't hurt her in her ksuba. Right? And then the lekukos won't be worried about buying the property. Right? So that's the good advice here is what? Give the property back to her either for a number of reasons. Rashi gives the reason what real estate's better. Buy real estate. Now, the Tosafot says no. The benefit here is to the woman. The woman's going to know what? If there's more property for her to collect the ksuba from her, she'll feel better and there'll be more shalom bias. Right? Or what? Buyers who are coming to buy the property, if we're saying she's still allowed to transact. Right now, according to Wabaya, you're allowed to transact in this property if she transacts. When buyers come and buy the property, what, from her or something, they'll be willing to buy because there's more property, and therefore the lien can go on the other properties that are there. So there'll be more buyers, and the value of the property will go up. Right? Because then, otherwise, if they always know there's a lien or a mortgage on the property, they will feel like, what, there's not worth buying this property. Right? So there's an Amalei, Tani Tana Motziin, Batamar Tava Livdei. Over there, the Bryce says, Motziin, we take it away from him and buy property with him. We're not giving him advice. We're telling him what he has to do. You can't call it advice. So he says, Amar Lehu, Haki Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minui. So they sent back Rav Yosef's answer to Rav Minui Bar Nechumi, who had said like Abaye, right? Amar Lehu, Haki Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minui. He wrote back to them, saying what? So this is what Rav Yosef Bar Minui says. Amar Rav Nachman, Zu Eina Mishnah. That price is not a good price, sir. My time up. Why is this not a good price? Right? Why? Because, but what's the, he owes him money. They're a creditor and a debtor. And the debtor is metalkalin. Metalkalin are not mishubah to the ksuba. So why should he have to pay the money back and make that into a shiba? Even if he pays the money back, it's not mishubah to the ksuba. Why do we have to buy land with it? Dilma Rabbi Meir, Dilma Metalkalin, Shabbat and Ksuba. Maybe it's Rabbi Meir's opinion that what? That they may are Mishuba to the Ksuba. So you don't throw out a price just because it's one of the, another kind of opinion. So that's a process. Ela Mishum Dama La At La Bal Dvarim Didiyat. He can say to her, you have no claim against me. I owe your husband the money. I don't owe you the money. I owe your husband the money. So Mar says, but Rabbi Natani, maybe it's Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan has the transitive property of borrowing. What's that? He, the Tanya, the surprise Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan, Noshe Bechavero Mono, Bechavero Bechavero. What happens if, what? Reuven is owed money by Shimon, and Shimon's owed money by Levi. Alright? Reuven can go directly to Levi and collect. I mean, there's this transitive property. He doesn't have to go to, he can't go to Levi and Levi say, you're not my creditor. Shimon's my creditor. No. We look at it as if, what, that Reuven is a direct creditor to Levi. How do we know that you can go from Levi and get it and pay out to Reuven? We go look at the one who's holding the the one who's holding the money, the one who owes, we go to him and get the money. We don't sell.
That's not doing halacha, is it?
I think we pass it, but we're not doing halacha.
You don't pass it, the third guy says no blood runs again?
No, I think we hold like Rabbi Nathan, but I don't take my word on it. But I'm pretty sure we do pass him like Rabbi Nathan. I mean, the Marsha says he brings down in Shulchan Aruch, and also, yeah, I'm pretty sure we do pass him like Rabbi Nathan. Hello, Logash Kat, Tana, the Machmir, Trey, Chumre, Mitsuba. No, the reason the price is not good is why? Because here you're going to have to invoke two Chumros. What are two Chumros? Elik, Ika Rabbi Meir, Ika Rabbi Natan. Either you can have a price that goes like Rabbi Natan, or you can have a price that goes like Rabbi Meir. But you can't have a price that goes like both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan. Why? Ksuba is only Midirabonon. We're not going to have a bin here that you have two single Tanoim that have a bin, and we're going to put both of them in to get you there. I heard from Abaye that this is in a Mishnah, and I didn't know why he said it wasn't a Braisa. I didn't know why it wasn't a Braisa. Now I know why it wasn't a Braisa, because why? It's according to two Tanoim. You have to go fill in with two Tanoim to have a Chumra that you can collect on this Ksuba. And we're not willing to do that, Ksuba, which is only Ksuba Derabon. Again, quickly, just to review the Sugya quickly, what you have Abaye and Rav Yosi who argue that what if you are that all the possessions of the first husband are then mortgaged to the ksuba and he cannot transact with them. Everybody agrees in that. But if he does transact, does the transaction stand? Right? So that's the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Rav Yosef says it does not work. Abaye says it does work. It stands. So they each bring their respective proofs. Rav Yosef brings a proof, right, from the fact that what? We had there by the Yabon, that if he had a 99 mana versus a 1 mana, he can't go and say what? He can't say that I'm going to go give you your ksuba and everything like that, but he says, well, you have to, the whole thing is meshubah. Vice says, I have a proof from Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel has an opinion earlier on that a rusa is not allowed to transact in the property when she's in a rusa, but nevertheless, if she doesn't transact, the transaction stands. So each side has a property. They sent away for an answer, so they first sent it to Rav Chanina Bar Papi. He sent back by Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't say, well, what's his reasoning? He didn't give any reason. So they sent it then to Rav Yumi, right? And he sent back like a Abaye. But he said, open, he says, send from Rav Yosef that if he thinks otherwise. So Rav Yosef found this Braisa that supports his position. He sent it to him. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's a good proof? Right? Maybe, well, first of all, how do you know it's a good proof? Maybe it's just an Eitzi Tov. It says Motsian. You can't say Motsian. So it's got to be a good proof. It means they actually want to do it. So then they sent it anyway. Then they sent it back to Rav Yumi saying, maybe you'll change your mind. Rav Yosef has some proof here. He says, no, he sent back to them, no, but this Mishnah is not a good Braisa. So the Gemara has to say, why is it not a good Braisa? Gemara says, maybe it's like Rabbi Meir. Maybe it's like Rabbi Natan. Gemara says, oh, yeah, you're right. You could have Braisa like Rabbi Meir. You could have Braisa like Rabbi Natan, but there's nowhere in Ksuba that you can find a Braisa like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan, because that's two Chumras. And by Ksuba, which is their bottom, we're not going to have two Chumras. And therefore, right, the law would be that the transaction does not stand.